what the GOP is going for. They're testing the waters. This is only the beginning. This is the right wing's test case to roll back things like Roe, to roll back the legalization of gay marriage, to roll back civil protections. There's going to be a lot to fight against. I want to see us build community. The more of us we have, the stronger we are. And if we stand strong now, we have a chance of slowing it down.
Welcome to episode 106 of the Refuse Fascism podcast, a podcast brought to you by volunteers with Refuse Fascism. I'm Sam Goldman, one of those volunteers and host of the show. Refuse Fascism exposes, analyzes, and stands against the very real danger and threat of fascism coming to power in this country. In today's episode, we're featuring stories of rising up, breaking the silence, and sounding the alarm to mobilize people to act. First, you'll hear from Juniper, an activist with Trans Resistance of Texas. Then, we'll share some highlights from the Rise Up for Abortion Rights nationwide protests that took place yesterday and help you get organized wherever you are. As we've discussed previously on the show, there's a tsunami of anti-trans legislation sweeping the nation. Just this past week, the Alabama legislature voted to ban gender-affirming medical care to youth, making providing such care a felony, punishable by up to 10 years in prison. This February, in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott issued an executive directive ordering that the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services conduct child abuse investigations of parents who give gender-affirming care to their children. In Texas, right now, if you're a parent who follows the guidance of the American Academy of Pediatrics to help your child get gender-affirming care that is, quote, developmentally appropriate, non-judgmental, supportive, and clinically safe, end quote, they are deemed as committed child abuse. So if you give your child care, if you take them to a doctor and help them get care that pediatricians say is advised, you're committing child abuse, for which they and their doctors must be investigated, prosecuted, and punished. Echoing SB8, the six-week abortion ban in Texas, Abbott's order relies on vigilantism. It fosters community surveillance of families with transgender children by explicitly telling the public that they, no less than healthcare professionals, have a duty to report suspected cases of child abuse. The effects of this order were immediate, devastating, terrorizing for parents, for kids, and healthcare providers. Texas's Children's Hospital in Houston, the largest children's hospital in the country, stopped providing gender-affirming care. So what do we do? Here is a conversation I recently had with Juniper, an activist with Trans Resistance of Texas, a protest group fighting for trans rights and taking a stand against transphobia in Texas. TROT, Trans Resistance of Texas, and Tear It Up held a die-in outside the Capitol building in Austin, Texas, protesting the governor and Ken Paxton's attacks on families with transgender children. They did this die-in March 31st. Have a listen.
On our show, we have been talking at length, but there's much, much more to say about what we've been calling a tsunami of anti-trans legislation that is sweeping the country. And I think that a lot of people listening, they feel trapped and they feel hopeless. And when I was scrolling social media, I saw Juniper and others participate in an action that gave me a little bit of hope. And
well, I'm glad that it had that effect on anybody. Frankly, I've been mostly oscillating between depression and rage, and I'm just a fundamentally anxious person. And if I don't do something, then I just melt down. And I've lived here for almost 30 years, and this is the worst it's felt. At least when I was growing up, they were pretending we didn't exist. Now we're under a magnifying glass. 40 bills last session. That's why TROT exists. We formed the Trans Resistance of Texas as a pretty loose group of people who just got together to protest during the last legislative cycle and then on through special session, because we had something in the ballpark of 40 different bills on the books, and only one of them made through, but one of them made through. And that's what the GOP is going for. They're testing the waters. They're trying to find holes.
And so what went through in Texas?
That one was HB 25. It's a ban on transgender kids in sports. Basically, it specifies that in Texas, regardless of child's gender identity, what's been recognized by parents, doctors, that child has to compete in the gender category that they were assigned at birth. And that's already having ramifications.
And so what did y'all do? I think it was last week.
Our most recent action. Yeah. That was actually one of many that we were coordinating with our larger partner org, Tear It Up, with. We held a die-in on the steps of the state capitol, maybe the first in Texas for trans rights specifically. And we had Dr. Lulu was there speaking. She's phenomenal.
Was that the speaker that led people in saying that they were divine?
I think Dr. Lulu has a bit about that, but also you might be thinking of Remington Johnson, who spoke on the 13th at another rally that we helped to organize. This was actually the third action that our members were involved with this month, or well, in the course of roughly a month. This most recent one was coordinated with ones in, I believe it was Atlanta, Boise, and Des Moines, with, again, that other org called Tear It Up. We're still kind of putting that plane together as we fly it, but me and some colleagues from out of state are forming an organization in the style and structure of ACT UP, hoping to use a lot of their same tactics to keep these kinds of issues in the public eye. Because, I mean, I think HB 25 made some local news, and it started to get global news only during South by Southwest, because a bunch of big names started to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to keep the world's eyes on these issues.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that you could see in the picture, I think that the Des Moines action had a lot of ACT UP energy to the picture. And I think that at the time of ACT UP, for younger listeners, the slogan was silence equals death. And while they were organized around AIDS not even being spoke about,
And it feels the same when you see 40 bills on the books in one session attacking the same demographic, all of them aimed at kids just about, and one of them makes the news because it passed.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of what we're seeing is around kids in particular. In Texas, I think this was passed, but correct me if I'm wrong, was that preventing reporting parents who...
Yes, it didn't pass yet. What that is right now is the attorney general and the governor each released statements indicating that in their legal opinion, Texas law codifies puberty blockers and gender affirming care for anyone under the age of 18 to be illegal and to constitute child abuse. And they've immediately started investigations. There's several pretty reputable sources where we're getting word now that part of this directive indicated that there were not to be records of this because they knew what they were doing was illegal and unconstitutional.
And my understanding is that parents have already been reported.
Yes. There's at least one family already having to deal with a court case over this.
Can you talk a little bit for our listeners who may not understand, why is this such a big deal?
Because this is only the beginning. This is the right wing's test case to roll back things like Roe, to roll back the legalization of gay marriage, to roll back civil protections. In fact, it was just yesterday, or it may have been last night, the lieutenant governor put out a public statement saying that he absolutely intends to try and push through our own version of Don't Say Gay here in Texas. So they picked this issue as a test case for all of these other, even broader goals that they have that could be used, because it's one, not broadly understood by people who don't have direct experience, and easy to polarize people over because of the inbuilt stigma. And anytime that an issue revolves around childcare, you can start to really drum up the conservative base over it.
Meanwhile, what they're inflicting on children, these Christian fascists, for children who already have the odds stacked against them. If adolescence wasn't hard enough.
Right. Like, I grew up trans in Texas in a really small county. My hometown was population 425. The county jail held more people than lived in the town, literally, by about 160. And it was hard enough dealing with feeling invisible and like I didn't exist because nobody talked about people like me. In fact, I didn't realize that being trans was an option until my mid-20s. I came out as a cis gay man because that's all I understood. I can't even imagine having to grow up knowing that the state had deemed my existence to be illegal. And can't even imagine. All the things I went through, I never imagined that I would live to see another generation that possibly is going to grow up with deeper trauma than I did from growing up queer in the late 90s and then through the Bush era in rural Texas. But that's what we're looking at.
It's completely outrageous. I relate to what you were talking about a lot, the oscillating between depression and outrage. And I think that anybody with a heart should as well. Can you talk us through a little bit about what is giving you hope in this moment, the actions that you're taking, the community that you're building, and what lessons you think others can take away, how you would want to see this replicate, maybe in other parts of Texas or elsewhere in the country?
We've had an outpouring of support that I don't want to say that I didn't expect, because I've been in and out of activism long enough to know that I'm not alone, but it can feel that way, especially in Texas. A lot of this is a reaction to overturning a lot of things that I didn't expect we would. At the time that I came out, I didn't dare hope for the things we've already achieved. And a lot of this is just backlash. It's the pendulum. And if we stand strong now, we have a chance of slowing it down. The other thing is the kids are all right. This next generation is more engaged with civil rights and unionization than I think any generation in my adult life. So I do still have a lot of hope, even if it's hard to hold on to.
And you did this, Diane. I haven't seen another one like it in the state of Texas for trans rights. Doesn't mean that there hasn't been.
And they tend not to be documented here. Generally speaking, a lot of organizations have to walk a very tight line. So even when a lot of our allies are kind of hands off about these kinds of actions and protests, that's the whole point of our organization, is being someone who can be the megaphone without compromising our existing position.
What kind of action do you hope that people are taking, and what do you want to see in Texas or elsewhere across the country?
Well, not strictly related to our movement, but everyone should unionize. But in terms of our organization, we'll be taking stuff directly from ACT UP's playbook, bogging down call lines, additional die-ins. This is probably not our last one. It was timely, but we also wanted to open up the same way ACT UP did. I believe their first documented action was a die-in. Things like handing out pamphlets to the staffers of right-wing offices, setting up call banking.
There's no right or wrong answer. I'm just curious as to what you see as needed.
As much as anything, I want to see us build community. The more of us we have, the stronger we are.
For people who are in Texas and want to connect with your movement, how can they do that?
I believe we are going to, as far as outreach goes, begin to operate as a component, a sort of a local wing of Tear It Up. And they've got their own webpage. And we have a whole system put together now to bring people on board. One of the other goals of Tear It Up is we're currently building basically startup instruction packets so that people can start their own local chapter in their town, whether it's Austin, Texas, or Albuquerque, New Mexico. If they have the want to, we will provide them whatever resources we have. The webpage is the best place to start for our organization.
Great. Well, we'll definitely link that in the show notes.
Oh, and I guess one other place is Trot's Twitter page and Tear It Up's Twitter page are both good places to start for right now, because the webpage isn't fully polished up yet. So we're basically taking contacts any way that people want to reach us.
Great. So people should definitely check that out. And is there anything else that you want people that aren't in Texas to know about what's happening in Texas?
We're in for a tough couple of years. This announcement that the lieutenant governor put out is actually for the 2023 cycle. So we've got everything that just happened. They're almost certainly just going to retool all of these sports bills. I wouldn't be surprised if they try an adult bathroom bill again, because I'm pretty sure one just passed and I believe it was Arizona or somewhere. So I see no reason why Texas isn't going to revamp that. The last time they tried was in 2017. There's going to be a lot to fight against for the foreseeable future, basically.
There's a lot to fight against, and there's a lot of people to fight alongside.
And to fight for.
Yeah, exactly. And I am glad to have met you and to know that there are people in Texas against a lot of odds standing up and fighting back. So I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with me and thank all the people that you're working with that are so bravely stepping out there. We need more people with you. So again, people should join up and check out the show notes and link up with them. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for reaching out and taking the time. I really appreciate it.
The Fascist Republic of Texas is moving fast and furiously to lock in place Christian fascist domination of the state, beating down any form of opposition and challenge to the rule, and mobilizing mobs of vigilantes to enforce it, hunting out, silencing, and persecuting their opponents. And their ambitions don't stop in Texas. This fascist offensive must be met now. With massive, growing opposition, all of society needs to rock with refusal. Yesterday, I joined with hundreds of people who took to the streets in over a dozen cities to fight for abortion to stay legal in this country. As the Supreme Court of the United States is poised to take away this fundamental right to abortion this spring. Listen to this from CBS LA.
Activists nationwide and right here in Southern California gathering to speak out for abortion rights.
CBS 2's Michelle Geely shows us one of the biggest local rallies that took place today.
Women and men passionate about choice and abortion rights marched up Hollywood Boulevard Saturday afternoon.
What if here is where the line is drawn?
The group Rise Up for Abortion Rights held protests in several cities across the nation, including LA. They set up in the heart of Hollywood to spread the word about what they call the erosion of reproductive rights and potential criminalization of abortion in many states.
It's actually shocking because I'm from Mexico, so we kind of see the United States as a more progressive society, especially California.
There's certain people that are just very greedy for power, and they want to tell other people what to do, and that's not American. We should have the freedom to do what we want to do, and a woman should have a basic right to do what she wants to do with her own body.
All eyes are on an upcoming Supreme Court ruling regarding abortion. Mississippi passed a law prohibiting abortions after the 15th week of pregnancy. A court ruled it was unconstitutional. An appeal is now before the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court is currently deliberating on a case, Dobbs v. Jackson, in which they were explicitly asked to overturn Roe v. Wade. This decision is about to come down in either late May or early June.
While we are still getting in reports and combing over footage, one thing that was noticeable across the country was the number of youth who participated, including those who had never been to a protest in their life. We just had to share these two clips from high school students, youth organizers. First, you'll hear from an organizer in New York City and then in Berkeley, California.
My name is Bayla Krause. I'm a student and youth organizer with Rise Up for Abortion Rights. I am 15 years old and I am furious. I am angry at the state of the world that has been left to my generation. Currently, the Supreme Court is poised to strip people with uteruses of their constitutional right to an abortion. And you know what? You know what we're going to do? We're going to fight back. We will not stand for this, and we will not be silenced. We will not comply when our futures and our dreams are under attack. We have power as a movement, and we need to organize together and follow the lead of women in Colombia, Mexico, and Argentina. Together we will fight, and together we will make them listen to us. We have been silenced for too long. We need to hear every single one of your stories, every single one of your ideas, and every single one of your voices, because in this fight, we all need to be heard. Right now, I'm calling on the youth to stand up, because these are our futures, our hopes, and our dreams that are on the line. We are done accepting that, and we don't have much time. A decision will be made sometime in late spring on whether or not to overturn Roe v. Wade. So, we must be relentless and we must keep up this fucking fight. If you're angry, let me hear you. Abortion on demand and without apology. Thank you, guys.
Judah and I am so happy that we're in this fight together. Stripping of autonomy. It is dehumanizing, and frankly, it is terrifying.
Yeah.
Today we are here because we fundamentally understand something. Congress has let us down. The Republican Party has let us down. The Democrats have let us down.
Yeah.
No one seems to understand the weight that these Supreme Court decisions genuinely hold. Texas, Oklahoma, Idaho, Arizona, Indiana, South Dakota, Wyoming, Florida. This is an emergency, and has been left up to us to fight, to speak up, and to take it to the This is a matter of which of such fundamental and basic concern to women involved that she should be allowed to make the choice as to whether to continue or to terminate her pregnancy, said Sarah Weddington in Roe v. Wade. We fight for abortion to become legal once more, and the Supreme Court decision to not be overturned. I must say, this goes beyond than just a fight for the aborted rights of the people. It is a fight against fascism. They're attacking the teaching of race, black voting, they're attacking queer folks, and they're attacking our right to abortion.
Right.
So today we march for healthcare, for autonomy, and the right not to stay silent. We fight for the people, and we fight against fascism. We stand with the women, with the people of the world. Thank you all for being here today. Thank you for the great people I've met, and thank you for making this happen. We continue this fight side by side.
For more on yesterday's protests, visit riseup4abortionrights.org. The U.S. Supreme Court is poised to take away the right to abortion this spring, likely in late June. This cannot be allowed. Roe v. Wade is the case that legalized abortion in this country. Half of people who can become pregnant in the United States live in states that could quickly move to ban abortion if the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. As the Center for Reproductive Rights shared, quote, Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization marks the first time the court will rule on the constitutionality of a pre-viability abortion ban since Roe. The court's ruling in Roe recognized that the decision to continue a pregnancy or have an abortion, which impacts a person's body, health, family, and future, belongs to the individual, not the government. The state of Mississippi has asked the court not only to uphold its abortion ban, but to overrule Roe and find there is no constitutional right to abortion, end quote. By agreeing to hear this case in the first place about a ban that violates nearly 50 years of precedent, the highest court of the land has made it clear that the right to abortion is on the chopping block. And when they heard the case, they made their intentions clear, going so far as to ask why abortion is even necessary. Never before has the Supreme Court of the United States taken a direct challenge to Roe. But now we have a Trumpified court stacked with Christian fascists. In anticipation of the reversal of Roe, women haters in state houses across the country have swiftly joined in Olympics of cruelty, from 15-week bans in Arizona and Florida to an all-out ban on abortion at conception, with felony charges for providers up to 10 years in Oklahoma, a state that has seen a surge of patients seeking abortion care since the 6-week ban has gone into effect in Texas. Further emboldened by the upcoming SCOTUS decision, states are proposing new restrictions and heavier criminal penalties on the abortion pill. In Texas, in the Rio Grande Valley, Lizelle Herrera was arrested and charged with murder for allegedly inducing her own abortion, and bail was set at $500,000.
While we are so glad that the horrendous charges were dropped, that she is out, grateful for the Texans and others who helped make that happen, she should have never been arrested in the first place. Her arrest is a harbinger of what we are to see by the millions if we do not stop this. It should lay to rest any illusion of a workable, livable, post-Roe society, especially for women of color. As horrible as it was before Roe, the truth is, if we allow Roe to be gutted or overturned, it will be far worse. If Roe is overturned, 26 states could quickly move to ban abortion, impacting over 35 million women of reproductive age who live in those states, likely to ban abortions. Bans that, like all the other abortion bans, fall hardest on people who have already faced barriers in accessing healthcare due to white supremacy and other forms of discrimination. They are going to keep going further. Bans with no exemption for rape, normalized. Criminalization for miscarriage, criminalizing abortion pills. Passing a federal ban on abortion connected to enshrining fetal personhood. They're going after birth control. If they're allowed to do this, they're going forward criminalizing medical professionals and pregnant people, going after sex education and more, going after Griswold, Loving, Brown, Obergefell, dismantling privacy and equal protection, turning back the clock, for without abortion rights, there is no even illusion of gender equality. They are not going to accept a patchwork of states where some areas of the country have abortion rights and some don't. If the Supreme Court overturns Roe and decides there is no right to abortion, it marks a truly devastating milestone. It marks the first time in this country's history that the court has taken away a constitutional right. This right, which the court has reaffirmed multiple times, the right to abortion is foundational to people's lives for generations. And if it is allowed to be stripped away, it will do tremendous, incalculable harm. This is a Christian, fascist, theocratic, women-hating movement, and their assault on abortion is a battering ram in a whole horrific program infused with white supremacy, American chauvinism, science denialism, and it is gaining grounds on many fronts. And if it is allowed to win on this, it will give the whole fascist enterprise momentum to drive its cruel and brutal future forward. This movement is one that cannot be accommodated to, it cannot be appeased, and it will not stop until they have imposed their nightmare vision of the world on all of us, or until they are decisively defeated. Only the people can stop this. We need to take to the streets and rise up for abortion rights now. We must do what women in Argentina, Mexico, and Colombia have done for generations. Abortion was criminalized in those countries. Then women took up the green bandana. Through courageous, relentless protest, they decriminalized abortion. We too must change what's possible here through our struggle. Show solidarity with our sisters in Latin America. Mobilize growing numbers of people in a rising green wave that does not stop until we defeat this war on women. Abortion on demand and without apology needs to resound throughout this country. The reality that forced motherhood is female enslavement needs to be brought to life. There needs to be street theater that brings it to life. There needs to be social media campaigns. There needs to be actions that cut to the heart of what's at stake. We need to rise up. We need to wear green. Rise Up for AbortionRights.org has announced a national week of action, May 8th through 15th. They're calling on people to unleash our creativity, rage, and power to wake people up in town squares, on campuses, in workplaces, and all across society to the emergency facing women, to galvanize growing numbers of people to wear green for abortion and join growing nonviolent resistance to stop the Supreme Court from taking away the fundamental right to abortion. This upcoming Saturday, April 16th, join the National Rise Up for Abortion Rights Organizing Summit. It's on Zoom, taking place 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, 2 p.m. Central Time, 9 a.m. in Hawaii. There's a registration link in the bio. It's an all-hands-on-deck moment. Get connected. Get organizing now. This week, spread the green and spread the word about the organizing summit. Spread it on social media, posting videos to your stories with lots of green bandana stickers, chalking up your city and campus, getting green fabric and draping it from trees in your parks. Place banners out your windows, posters throughout your town. I want to hear your ideas. We need to reach the huge reservoir of people who do not know that we are weeks away from possibly losing the right to legal abortion in this country. So what are the bold, creative, disruptive, unignorable, line-drawing, enough-is-enough, fury-mobilizing actions that are going to draw people forward and help mobilize people, help people confront and then act on what we face? So please, please, please think about it and then send me your ideas. Send us your ideas. You can send your ideas to riseupforabortionrights.org. You can do that by emailing info@riseupforabortionrights.org. The number four, remember? riseupforabortionrights.org. Or write me personally, Samantha Goldman, at refusefascism.org. Let's wear green for abortion and fight for growing numbers, unignorable protest, massive resistance for abortion on demand and without apology. Thanks for listening. I want to hear from you. Share your thoughts, questions, ideas for topics or guests, or lend a skill. Tweet me at Sam B. Goldman. Or you can drop me a line at SamanthaGoldman@refusefascism.org. Or leave a voicemail by pushing the button at anchor.fm/refuse-fascism. Want to support the show? It's simple. Show us some love by rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts or your listening platform of choice. And of course, follow, subscribe so you never miss an episode. Chip in to support our pod and content creation to help people understand and act to stop the fascist threat. You can donate by visiting refusefascism.org and hitting the donate button there. Or Venmo or Cash App, Refuse Fascism. Thanks to Richie Marie, Lena Thorne, and Mark Tinkleman for helping produce this episode. Thanks to incredible volunteers, we have transcripts available for each episode. So be sure to visit refusefascism.org and sign up to get them in your inbox each week. We'll be back next Sunday. Until then, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America.